Our evening study on anxiety has just extended into the morning for today. And the scripture this morning is Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Please join me there. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Our Father, we need the work of your Spirit now to shine into our hearts, to do surgery, to show us where our thinking does not line up with reality, where our actions follow, where our thinking and our actions follow our hearts and their own folly. Help us now to conform our minds to the mind of Christ Jesus, that you will be glorified. Help us now, O Lord. Help us now. Conform us and shine through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometimes I find myself in what I might call a slump. I'm a very emotional person, and sometimes my emotions are high and they're positive. Sometimes they're very low, and sometimes they're very negative. And my poor family feels the brunt of this. They don't know how long I'm going to be happy, or if I am going to be happy, or if I'm going to be grumpy, or how long I'm going to be grumpy, exactly what this is going to look like. Well, this past week I was focusing on this sermon, and I'm thinking about these ideas, and the idea of rejoicing in God always. And I look back at my past week, and in my past week I remembered earlier on being in this depth, and in this pit. And then I remembered a day later looking at Leslie and saying, I love our life together. Just so happy. And then a day later or 2 days later, I was in these depths again. And as I was meditating on this passage, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I was looking at my own life and asking the question, well, why? Why do I find myself in debt? Why do I find myself grumpy, as my children would put it? Why do I find myself where I am not rejoicing in the Lord always? And I look back a bit to that moment where I said, I love our life together, and I start looking at that to see, what did I even mean by that? If it's in bookends of sorrow or anger or despair, how do I say, I love my life with you? Well, what I figured out I meant was, I love my life with you when there's no friction. I love my life with you right now when it's easy. I love my life when no one's confronting me with my sin. That's what I love. That's where I'm happy. And isn't this the same way that we treat Christ? Oh, I'm happy with you, Lord. I'm happy with you when it's easy. I'm happy where there's no frustration. I'm happy where there's no friction. I'm happy where there's no sorrow. I'm happy where I'm getting everything I want. But here, with this in mind, and Paul moved by the Spirit, he speaks and he says, rejoice. Does he say rejoice when it's easy? Did he say rejoice when nothing's going wrong? Did he say rejoice when there's no friction? Rejoice when no one's confronting you with sin? No. God speaks to His church and says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, this is the emphasis, saying it twice. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. A big part of the Christian life, because we are already, we're born in sin. We already have sinful hearts. So the Christian life isn't just tacking some new things onto our lives or removing some behavior, substituting some behavior. A big part of the Christian life is taking off the old and putting on the new. Removing the old man, removing the natural habits of life, or of sinful life rather, and putting on the heart of Christ Jesus, the mind of Christ Jesus. And here we see a part of the answer for anxiety is to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. And that's not as if that's an impossible thing or a strange thing. It's not as if I've set you in this gray room and you're in a gray chair and you're in gray clothes and there's poor lighting and I bring this ugly rock in and I set it in front of you and say, now rejoice. Rejoice in this rock. And you have to cultivate something or make something that's not real or not legitimate. But instead, we are in this dark setting, yes, looking at our own hearts and our own sinfulness and our own failure and the crimes and the sins all around us and even against us. But instead we put the Lord in Psalm 145. Your greatness and your majesty and your loving kindness are forever. Rejoice. Rejoice. You're held steadfast. You're held true. No one can snatch you from His hand. Rejoice. He causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Rejoice. When you've fallen, when you're cast down, He's about to lift you up. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So the call this morning is to replace your anxiety with rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the grace of Christ Jesus. Now, we all meditate. We all do it. Our culture has this idea that meditation is this Eastern thing, and you sit and you cross your legs and you chant or you do whatever, you say these things over and over again, and you control your breathing. Well, the idea of meditation is to say something again and again. Each one of us, there's some voice within you that speaks something again and again. There's something that your soul whispers to you. Again and again. For some of us, as we find ourselves in sorrow, or we find ourselves in misery, that voice says, you're alone. You'll always be alone. For some of us, the voice whispers, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. You'll never be good enough. You'll never pull it off. Or if you're like me, eventually they're going to find out about you. But you're not what everybody would think you are. What does your voice say? What does the voice speak inside you? And this question is, what is the meditation of your heart? And that was our first move. Identify your meditation. Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Some of us, and I've heard some people's, their voice, sometimes it comes out. Some people will say, when something bad happens, they say, well, of course that would happen to me. Some people say, go figure, because that would happen to me. Or people tell a story and they say, well, with my luck, it's going to go this way. That they're already defeated, that they're already undone, because God's kind providence, apparently, is never upon them. What does your voice say? See, as we have started off as a fallen people, as we were brought forth in iniquity, your inner man is already in danger of speaking death to you. And if you allow that old man to keep speaking to you and speaking to you and speaking to you, your mind is going to be put in that direction, and your heart is also put in that direction. So what we do, and what we must do, is what we see in Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart. And this is our second move now, to direct your heart. To direct your heart. Culture has the idea that the highest ideal, the highest good, is to follow your heart. Wow, that's death. There's a way that seems right to man, and its end is destruction when you follow your own heart. But a heart is something that must be directed. So that idea of Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now we see this idea of meditation. It was practiced by the ancients, and by the ancients I mean our ancients, our fathers. Genesis 24:63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field towards evening. See, there was a thing that was done and a thing that's understood that we go and we put ourselves in a place where we speak truth to ourselves. We speak reality to ourselves. The voice of the old man, we tell it to shut up. And we replace it with what's right and good and true. In Psalm 4:4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. This is a command that every time we sing Psalm 4, we command one another, meditate. Meditate. And that's not get quiet and let whatever voice would stir up in you stir up. But that's take the truth and speak it to yourself. Psalm 77:5-6. I considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. A pledge we make even while we sing this song. That I will meditate in my heart. I will speak truth to myself. So rather than following your own heart, speak to your heart. Rather than allowing your heart to direct you, direct your heart. Direct your own affections in accordance with truth. And then we're not like waves of the sea that are tossed here and there by every wind, with giant peaks and deep lows. But in the highest peak, we're still standing on loving kindness. In the deepest lows, we're still standing on loving kindness. Loving kindness, that's the grace in Christ Jesus. And we're not undone. So our third move. Always center your meditation on the Lord. 1 Corinthians 22:19, as was spoken to the ancients. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. So sometimes people imagine that, well, this is just the way I am. And there's nothing I can do. I'm just this way, or I'm just that way, or my heart is just this way, or my soul is just this way. But here a specific command is given. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. To seek Him. This puts us in a beautiful place where we imagine that we fall into a place of despair or a place where we're just going to be undone or we're on such a dark course that there's no rejoicing for us, to the place where we see that in Christ Jesus we can be directed. Colossians 3:1-3. Here's a beautiful meditation. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God, or hidden in God with Christ. That's the truth and the reality of where you are. Psalm 63:6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the watches of the night. Now tonight we're going to continue this study on meditating on God. But what is the meditation? What is it specifically that we can focus on and what we can do? Well, our fourth move here is continuously meditate on what He says. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now this meditation in this place where our heart is, it has an effect. And it's expressed here in Joshua 1:8. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Not just ideas in our head, but actions that flow from the ideas. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. You see, all of this is an active decision. Active decision. So many of us, we think that being still and waiting on God is just a matter of going limp. But no, it's a stance. It's a stance on Christ Jesus, where we look and we see that He gave His Son to rescue us. He sent the Lamb of God, came to take away the sins of the world. So we're pushed forward and we're propelled forward by this truth that's behind us that will not be undone. And as you are in Christ Jesus, you will not be undone. Now, the meditating on the Word is what we do. The replacing the thoughts is what we do. And it takes practice. It takes effort. It takes training. A couple of weeks ago, my family, we decided to be in a 5K run. We had a week to prepare. We didn't win. We didn't win because we prepared for 1 week. I spent a lot longer than a week on the couch leading up to that. And for you who have meditated on the wrong things for a year, a couple of years, a decade, a few decades, 67 years, it's going to take time. It's going to take time to rewrite, to undo, to replace, But a beautiful thing and a beautiful idea that comes out in the book of Philippians, where it talks about pressing forward to the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus and forgetting what lies behind. The more that we revisit something, it's like studying it. The more you read something, the more it's ingrained into your mind. Those dark meditations, they have been ingrained into your mind. But as you stop visiting them, and you start putting the truth there, those things are changed. Those things are washed away, they're even blotted out. And there's healing. And so much of what takes place as we change our thinking, it changes our affections. And as our affections are changed, it leads into this change in action, where we see ourselves being the people that we have always been called to be, walking more and more like Christ Jesus. And as you stand there, as you stand on Christ, you're on the rock. And the anxieties are lessened. The anxieties can even be completely removed. Because you're believing the truth. You're embracing the truth. You're living the truth. And this takes place as the law of God is written on your heart. As you believe it. As you meditate upon it. So for those of you who struggle with anxiety, I'm going to say, you who struggle with anxiety, all of us, each of us, rejoice in the Lord, who He is, what He has done. Meditate on these things. Meditate on what He has said. And the joy of God will indeed fill you. Replace your anxiety with rejoicing in Christ Jesus, who He is and what He has done. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You that You have given us truth. Father, we thank You that You have given us Your Spirit. Thank You that You have blessed us and You have loved us. God, convict us of our anxiety, of our fears, of our doubts, and cause us to stand steadfast on what is, and to replace our anxieties, Lord, with rejoicing in You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is